This morning on Wake Up With Hope, the Health Connection is back with health tips. Taj Pakleb takes us on another video adventure.
And we will have an inspiring devotional message from Pastor Mark Finley. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope.
Happy Friday, friends. Did you know we are officially less than 3 months away from the end of the year? It's unbelievable. But before we know it, 2025 will be springing up. So how has your year gone so far? Send us a message on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and let us know. We really enjoy hearing from you.
We sure would. You know, today is International Girl Child Day. It is a day dedicated to recognizing the voices of young girls and women all around the world. We've undoubtedly come a long way since the old times in history where women were, well, largely seen as inferior. But this day seeks to highlight and acknowledge the importance and potential of adolescent girls.
And friends, we encourage you to celebrate by starting with the girls right around you. Go the extra mile to support them and make them feel special today.
All right. Well, and it's now time to get our program started as we take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 2002, former President Jimmy Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in honor of his unwavering commitment to promoting peaceful solutions to international conflicts, advancing democracy and human rights, and supporting economic and social development around the world.
You know, peace, who wouldn't love world peace? Yet most of us have lived long enough to know that it's a seeming impossibility. But all hope is not lost. We can make a difference in our own little world. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You know, there's a special blessing awaiting those who strive to be peacemakers. That can be us. Instead of choosing to retaliate, instead of choosing to argue or disagree, we can choose to make peace with others while not compromising our values. We can choose to love and put others first as we treat them with kindness. You know, our untiring efforts for peace will pay off, and God promises that we will be blessed. You know, He can help us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. He sure can, friends. Well, Dr. Peter Landless joins us on today's episode of The Health Connection as he shares with us on the importance of sleep.
As you opened your eyes from sleep, did you feel rested? Truly rested? How much sleep is enough? 6, 8, 10 hours? Experts say 7 to 8. Others, and I empathize with them, say just 5 more minutes as they hit the snooze button. Lack of sleep, real deep restful sleep, is a huge problem, driven by many factors. In fact, it's equal to the national debt, it's so high. What are the factors that cause us sleeplessness? Work, stress, the devices, the screen time. We've become so dependent on those devices, on our cell phones, on our pads, on our computer screens. And we spend so much time, and they actually disturb our sleep architecture. Then, of course, there are substances, including caffeine in that coffee people drink at night, for example. Large and late meals. Strenuous exercise late in the day, a very hot environment, extraneous light coming in to the room. All of these are factors. So what are the real benefits of adequate sleep so that you awake refreshed? Reduced levels of diabetes, reduced levels of inflammation load, even, and listen up to this, a decreased risk for Alzheimer's. It's been shown that people sleeping poorly have a higher risk for dementia. Of course, those errors and accidents, those too are less when we've slept well. What's better when you sleep well? Your mood, your mental health, your memory, our immune system, our skin, our healing processes. Even our weight management improves, heart health, the ability to concentrate and focus, and I know that is something which is so important to each one of us. Our energy and productivity improve the better that we sleep. So what can you do to sleep better? Take smaller, earlier evening meals. Cut screen use at least an hour before bedtime to give your mind the ability to slow down. Darken the room. Reduce light as much as possible. Cool the environment as best you can. And open windows where possible. That's always healthy. Have a gratitude journal. Before you sleep, write down the good things that have happened and those things for which you're grateful and the people for whom you're grateful. Reflect on the promises in God's word and the peace he gives us. And then you'll wake up each day filled with hope.
With the invention of scuba diving came the wonderful possibilities of seeing and studying the underwater world. Scuba diving is probably the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. There are many things you need to know before scuba diving. But you might find it surprising that the number one and most important rule in scuba diving is simply this: don't hold your breath. Whatever happens, just keep breathing. Let's tune in to today's Reflections of Hope episode and find out the depths of this profound spiritual lesson.
God's holy word declares that the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And though marred by sin, creation still speaks of the wisdom, power, and beauty of the Creator. God made nature for us to enjoy, and there's so much to explore on God's green earth. But only in relatively recent times has mankind taken the plunge to explore the deep blue sea. With the invention of scuba diving came the wonderful possibilities of seeing and studying the underwater world. Scuba diving is probably the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. It's nothing short of spectacular. But with so much heavy gear, it's probably the most cumbersome of all the sports. There are so many things that are vital in order to have a successful dive. You need a mask to see, fins to propel, a wetsuit to keep you warm, a BCD to keep you buoyant, weights to keep you down, a tank that holds your air, a regulator that gives you breath, and all different kinds of computers and gauges to keep you informed so that you don't do anything dangerous. It's super cumbersome, but absolutely worth it. Now, there are many things you need to know before you go scuba diving, but you might find it surprising that the number one and most important rule is simply this: don't hold your breath. Whatever happens, just keep breathing. And as long as you're breathing, you can deal with any difficulty below. You see, the natural instinct of land creatures like us is to hold your breath underwater. So once our head goes below the surface, our mind tells us to stop breathing. And many people find it difficult to overcome this mind block. Not only that, but there's so many spectacular things to see down below that will literally take your breath away. But holding your breath is probably the most dangerous thing you can do. It could lead to a ruptured lung, a panic attack, or an uncontrollable urge to shoot up to the surface, thus causing the bends. And so if you ever get the chance to experience the scuba life, just remember, keep breathing. And as long as you're breathing, you can deal with any difficulty underwater. The same is true for spiritual life above the surface. Prayer is the breath of the soul. And just as we're to breathe without ceasing, the Bible calls us to pray without ceasing. You see, when you breathe, you're both taking in sustaining oxygen as well as releasing the cellular waste product of carbon dioxide. You're receiving that which is good and releasing that which is bad. This is the same thing that prayer does. Prayer is the means with which we receive God's blessings and unload life's burdens. It is the avenue by which we give our problems to God and that God gives us His peace and His power. You see, the purpose of prayer is not to inform God, but rather it is the means by which God transforms us. Many people find life so hard because they're not breathing the breath of prayer. They are spiritually drowning in a sea of sorrow, struggling in an ocean of trouble, when all the while the breath of prayer is right in their mouth. So remember, when life is overwhelming and you feel like you can't keep your head above the water, just keep praying. When finances are low and the bills are high, just keep breathing. When your kids are acting crazy and your spouse is acting lazy, just keep breathing. When the current of your sinful flesh is pulling you into forbidden waters, just keep breathing. Just keep praying. And as you do, God will give you the wisdom and the courage to change the things that you can change. He'll give you the peace and comfort to accept the things that you cannot change. And He'll give you the wisdom to know the difference. And in every single situation, He will bring a change in your heart. And when we come to trust God, both above and below the water, in the highs and in the lows of life, He will show us things we've never seen before. He will do through us things that have never been done before. And He will take us to places no one has ever been before. And finally, one day very soon, we will be able to leave this blue and green planet below to explore the heavenly realities of God's wonderful kingdom. And then we'll be breathing in the very atmosphere of heaven itself. And that, my friends, is a world you surely don't want to miss.
Radio control cars do whatever the driver tells them to do, so long as it has a good connection with the controller. Well, what about us? How does life work best for us, and how does connection have to do with it? Well, let's find out on today's episode of Bible and Christian Living.
My friends and I always joke about this hobby. We say it's 90% fix and 10% fun. This little car and I, we have a lot of history together. This was the first radio control car I ever bought, and I had great dreams and aspirations about how much fun it was going to be. Turns out I had colossal crashes in many of them. Spent more time in the workshop than on the playground, so to speak. I thought I was just a bad driver. And then after many hours of fixing, rebuilding, diagnosing, I discovered there was a problem with the power supply and the electrical unit. Who would have thought that a tiny little power supply like this could cause so many troubles to a remote control car? Turns out that it might be the same in life as well. Sometimes it's the little things that we don't get right that influence and that come back to bite us in bigger ways. Little things that give way to bigger things in our lives. This little power supply had a big influence on the kind of signal quality that my little car received from me as the driver. And when its power supply wasn't working properly, it just did its own thing. It went where it wanted to. It accelerated when I told it to slow down. It went left when I told it to go right. The result was it collided with walls and it ended up very broken. And I'm thinking, it's very much the same for us. When there's stuff going on in our lives that interfere with the signals that the Creator intends to send us, we start to live our own lives according to our own dictates, do what we want, when we want, how we want. Sometimes we even think that's the very definition of freedom. Turns out that actually that's the definition of slavery. So let me ask you, where are you getting your signal from? What's directing your life? Who are you obeying? The Bible conveys this interesting idea that God wants us to live our lives in such a way that we are in harmony with the frequency of heaven, that we're in tune with His signal and His messages. The way that this actually happens is through the gift of His very own presence, called the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and through us. You see, what God offers to do for us is to actually come into our lives in such a way that He's a constant companion, someone who's always there, communicating with us, influencing our thoughts, helping us with our choices and our decision making. It reminds me of that old hymn, those old words, well known, goes something like this: "Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings." Is God living out His life through you? Are you a vessel in harmony with Him? Are you receiving His signals on a daily basis? How is it with you?
When we return, we're going to have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Findlay.
Don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at recent episodes and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel. And subscribe to our YouTube channel as well so you don't miss a beat of what we have going on right here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. It's now time to join Pastor Mark Findlay as he shares today's devotional thought.
Have you ever said something that you wished you would not have said? Have words slipped out of your mouth that you've said, "Oh, if I could only take that one back"? The book of Proverbs gives us some very wise counsel. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." You guard your mouth, you guard your tongue, you keep your soul from troubles. You know, the New Testament expands on this in the book of James. And New Testament comes back talking again about the tongue, about guarding our tongue. James, the third chapter. And it says, "We all stumble in many things." This is James chapter 3, verse 2. "If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships, though they are so large, are driven by fierce winds. They're turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest fire this tongue kindles. The tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." In other words, guard your tongue carefully, according to Scripture. Now, during the Second World War, the United States government became very concerned about the number of German spies that were operating in America. And they'd send information back to Germany regarding Allied war plans and specific troop and ship movements. To keep them from impacting the war effort, the Office of War Information launched a national campaign around the slogan, "Loose lips sink ships." It was a solemn warning to people not to repeat information that might be damaging and even deadly if it fell into the wrong hands. In the same way, the Word of God warns us against the dangers of gossip. Repeating stories has a way of dividing the body of Christ. Gossip is even able to separate the closest of friends. One of the seven deadly sins on the list of particular abominations to God is that the person who sows discord among the brethren, Proverbs 6, verse 19. God invites you to be an encourager. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, the Bible talks about not simply discouraging words, but encouraging words. Proverbs 25, verse 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings or pictures of silver." Encouraging words. Words that flow from a heart that wants to bless others, to to lift the spirits of others up rather than to tear them down makes a great difference. John Wesley wrote the following letter from his deathbed to William Wilberforce to encourage him in his prolonged fight against slavery in England. You know, William Wilberforce took a stand against slavery before anybody else very much took it in England. And Wesley wanted to encourage Wilberforce, and Wesley was dying. And he wrote to John Wilberforce words that encouraged, or rather William Wilberforce, he wrote to him words that would be incredibly encouraging to him. And these are Wesley's words in his letter. He says, "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that abominable practice of slavery, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you'll be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Go on, my brother, in the name of God and in the power of his might. If God has given you a task, be not weary in well-doing." Wilberforce, reading the dying words of John Wesley, felt hope, he felt encouraged, and he went on to speak again and again in the English Parliament. And finally, the abominable trade of England was reversed. God leads you to be an encourager, to speak encouraging words. They may be by calling somebody on the cell phone, encouraging them and praying with them. They may be writing a little note to somebody to encourage them. You know, one of my heroes of faith is Cor ten Boom. Cor ten Boom was in a German Gestapo concentration camp for many, many years in Ravensbrück. And Corey, in that camp, attempted to encourage others. But Corey tells a story about her mother. Her mother was an old woman by now, and they were living, of course, in Holland, the Netherlands, living in a little town square in an apartment, two stories up, three stories up in that town square. And Corey's mother's hands were all gnarled, face wrinkled, hair gray, furrowed brow. And Corey's mom would sit at the window in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth. They'd lived in that village for many, many years. And Corey's mom could almost not talk anymore. And she would see somebody walking across the square and say, "Corey, come here, Corey, Corey, come here. Corey, that lady, she lost her husband, he died. Bring her a loaf of bread today. Corey, that one, that child struggling in school, write him a little note of encouragement today." And Corey said the thing that encouraged her to be a blessing, even in the prison camp, was the fact that her mother was such an encourager. Her mother was always looking for somebody to be a blessing to, somebody to encourage. Words can either be like a sword that pierces your heart, or words can be like apples of gold and pictures of silver. They can be like the breath of fresh air to you. I was holding evangelistic meetings in London, in England, and we were traveling in every single day from where we lived in St. Albans, about 40 miles into London, to a place called the New Gallery Center. This one day, I was just so tired, so weary, wondered if I could walk up the stairs to the third floor to teach my class. I was teaching every morning and preaching every night, visiting people in the afternoon. And as I walked by one room, I looked off to the side and I saw a small group praying. And one of them was Dr. Agatha Thrash, who was there with a group of Bible workers. And the prayers went something like this: "Dear Lord, Pastor Marks looks a little tired today, but Lord, give him strength, give him courage, help him be filled with new energy. I will tell you, I bounded up those stairs." Why? Because of words of encouragement. Go out today in your day and look for somebody that you can encourage, somebody that you can bless today, and you will be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
And thank you, friends, for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday at 7 a.m. We'll have a devotional from our friends at Voice of Prophecy, a recipe from Gia and Olive, another segment on the Health Connection, and so much more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, don't forget to visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And we can't leave without sharing, you know, a daily Bible promise. And today's promise says,
"Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Mark 11:22-23.
You know, friends, Jesus bids us today, have faith in God. Four words. Have faith in God. As we put our trust in Him, we will see the mountains move in our lives. They're going to get smaller and smaller. Why? Because we can do all things through Him who gives us strength.
Amen, friends. We pray that you take these reminders of God's love with you throughout this weekend, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend. We can't wait to see you Monday morning.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, Like the Father in biblical times said, Lord, we believe, help thou our unbelief. We choose to have faith in God. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith, that we would just maintain a life of walk of faith with you continuously, moment by moment. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.